Welcome to the Steve's Dying Guitar Podcast, brought to you by GuitarZoom.com. If you want to improve your guitar playing, keep listening. If you want to improve even faster, go to GuitarZoom.com, where you'll find all of Steve's premium courses, masterclasses, and memberships that'll help you quickly and easily improve your playing. Now, here's your host, Steve Stein.
Dan, can you hear me okay?
I can, Steve Stein. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just thrilled to be here with you.
Well, oh my goodness. Hold on a second. Whew. I'm blushing.
Oh, dude. I promise you, it's like the highlight of my whole week to hop on these calls with you.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that because I love to talk about guitar.
Well, then that's a match made in heaven. Hey, I want to thank Steve for being here. I want to thank all of you for being here. If you're joining us from wherever, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, I don't know. I don't know where you might be watching this. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. If you have questions, please post them in the comment box or in the chat box, whatever platform you're watching this video on. My name's Dan Denley. I'm the founder of GuitarZoom.com. This is my good friend and colleague, Steve Stein.
Hello.
And today we're going to be doing a blues guitar workshop series for you. This is the first in this particular format that we're using right here, where Steve and I are kind of bantering back and forth. And the whole entire series is called the Blues Guitar Workshop. It's available for you in a playlist on Guitar Zoom on the YouTube channel there at Guitar Zoom. And if you want to learn about blues guitar, keep watching, keep listening. If you want to learn it even faster, check out Steve's new course. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, and it's available at GuitarZoom.com. And it is all things blues. We've done blues licks. There's an acoustic blues course there. There's blues soloing masterclass. This is the new blues course, kind of the new standard, and Steve's really excited about it. I'm really excited about it, and everything we're talking to you about and teaching you in these workshop series is related to the course. So if that's something that you're interested in, you'd like to go really deep into this and learn it on a comprehensive level, check out the course, Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, available at GuitarZoom. All right, Steve, take it away, my friend.
Okay, well, basically what we're going to be doing is over the next few sessions that Dan and I are doing here is that we're going to set up some ideas of better understanding how blues works and certainly how to approach it methodically, right? Because so many times we get wrapped up in thinking it's about information, and there's nothing wrong with information, obviously, if we can use that information, but that's the key, is using the information that you have. It's not just having a bunch of knowledge in your head, but you can't do anything with your fingers. And so what I want to do today is I would just want to give you kind of a general overview of what to think about when you're trying to approach playing anything. But this is certainly going to be directed toward blues guitar. So what I'm using, of course, is my Paul Reed Smith. It's a little more bluesy in terms of its visual, I suppose. I've never really given much credence to, I need a Strat for blues and I need a whatever for rock. I just play what's comfortable, and then I dial in the sound from there with the gear that I have. You know, when I was growing up, I had very little gear. I mean, you had a guitar and an amp, and that's what you had to play. You know, I didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, so I didn't have seven guitars and all that sort of thing. You just played what you played. So what I want to talk about today is kind of an overview of blues soloing. Now, we're going to be talking about rhythm and different things too, and I'm not going to try and get real deep. I just want to get you thinking a little bit. So cool. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to think about the three T's, which is tools, touch, and tone. Okay?
Now,
tools, touch, and tone. And basically, with tools, what you're doing is you're trying to prepare yourself for the situation, the musical situation you find yourself in. When we say blues, a lot of times people go, oh, you're talking about 12-bar blues, or you're talking about a swing rhythm. And again, if you don't know those things, we're going to talk about all that. Yes, maybe that's true, but there's a lot of other subtleties that could go in there. And the question is what do you know about these terms, and what tools do you have at your disposal for that situation? Meaning, you might just know, for instance, minor pentatonic, right? It's kind of the place where most guitar players tend to start. So let's say I was in, I'll go to G. So I'm going to be in G, and I'm going to play G minor pentatonic, which means penta means five. So I'm playing a scale that looks like this. And you can hear as I play, I'm playing the same notes over and over and over. There's five notes. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, and then I run to strings, unless I go three, four, five. Okay? So, again, if you don't know the minor pentatonic, here's what I'm actually playing. I'm playing 3-6, 3-5, 3-5, 3-5, and then 2 3-6s. And that could be movable anywhere. You could take that shape and go anywhere you want. So let's say that's the only scale you knew. Okay? Well, that's okay. Let's say that's the only position that you knew. You didn't know how to play in other places around the fretboard. I'm not saying that learning more is bad. Of course you want to learn more. But could you make music with just that one position, with just those notes? And the answer is, of course you could, right? So you'd have to ask yourself, okay, so what's the chords that I'm playing over? If I'm playing in, again, our example is blues at this point. So if I was playing in G blues, what does that mean? Well, that means I'm probably going to see a G chord. It might be a G7 chord. Again, don't get confused by this stuff. It's just, it could be a G power chord for all that matters, right? And a C and a D. We call these 1, 4, and 5. But again, I'm going to throw these little things out there. And as we keep doing our sessions, you're going to learn about all this stuff, okay? And certainly in the guitar course, I talk about all this stuff. So G, C, and D, okay? So the scale that I'm superimposing over those three chords is this G minor pentatonic scale, okay, or minor pentatonic. So the first thing I think about is, okay, so I've got this scale, so what am I going to do with it? Well, the first thing I start doing is figuring out where are the roots. Where's the root, which in this case is G, right? So I want to know that G is down here on the sixth string. G is on the fourth string on the fifth fret. And G is on the first string. If it's on the sixth string, third fret, it's going to be on the first string, third fret, because they're both E strings, right? So they're just repeating each other. Why do I want to know that? Because if I've never really learned a solo before, this is the first thing I want to do, is I want to start trying to direct my movements toward the G, because that's the key that I'm in. So if you think about it, even if I just took my scale and just played something like that, it gives it direction and it gives it purpose, moving somewhere. I'm not just going, which if I do that, again, you might be able to come up with something really good. But the truth is, you got to learn to give your solo. It's not about fast or slow or all those things. You could be as fast as you want or as slow as you want. It's giving your solo direction, giving your playing in general direction. I could move toward the floor. Now, do I always have to go? No, of course not. There's many other things, but this is a great place to start. Okay? So the first thing I've done with my tools is I've assessed what key I'm in. Well, I'm using G, C, and D, right? So the scale that I know, well, all I know at this point is G minor or minor pentatonic. So I plastered that on G here and I played that. The second thing I did with those tools is I gave it direction. Okay? Now, we're going to learn more about this as we keep going, but that's really phrasing. We're giving our solo direction. We're giving it purpose. Right? Instead of just playing all the notes and giving all the notes equal attention, we're trying to give that G more attention. I remember somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody told me a long time ago, if you play everything all the time, you're really playing nothing, because nothing stands out. So if we're not trying to make something more important, nothing's important. And I always thought that was a really great quote. Maybe somebody said it. Maybe I came. I don't even know where that would have come from, but it's the truth. It's totally the truth. Okay. So the next thing is as I'm doing that, I want to start dealing with touch. Now, touch to me is the way I'm playing. Okay. the way I'm picking. Am I picking loud or hard? Am I picking soft? Am I not picking at all? Right? See? And I'm always messing with my volume because, like, I can hear my amp right here. See, as I play, I'm trying to create kind of a different environment of being able to play a little bit louder and a little bit softer, a little bit more, a little bit less. And I've always called this dynamics, dynamic variation, if you will, dynamic contrast. I have all kinds of different words I use for it, but it's really trying not to play the same thing every single time. And that doesn't just mean the same note selection, which it does, but it means the attack, the approach that I'm using. You see? So if I was playing over something, let me grab this track. And Dan, you're just going to have to tell me if this is too loud or whatever.
Sure.
But here we go. There's my G, right? So it went higher. Okay. So just, again, I don't expect you to memorize everything that I'm doing. I want you to get the idea, the overall meaning of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enjoying this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, go to guitarzoom.com and consider becoming a premium member. There are three memberships to choose from. VIP, which gives you instant access to a library of short but powerful courses as well as new bite-sized lessons each month. There's also Play Songs that gives you step-by-step lessons so you can learn to play your favorite songs fast. And finally, there's Masterclass, university-level training on everything from soloing to music theory, from blues to home recording. For more info about these memberships and all the premium courses available to you, go to guitarzoom.com. Now back to the podcast.
So that's what tone is to me, or touch, excuse me, is as I'm thinking about the phrasing, right? I'm directing myself toward a G. I'm not doing it every single time. There's no rules to this stuff. That's the beauty of guitar, is that you've got to feel this around. But if you think about it, it's like listening to, reading a good book or listening to a person talk that's very engaging. They don't use the same dynamics in their voice all the time. They don't use the same size sentences every time. They're always trying to make it interesting for you to stay engaged. And guitar is really no different. It's not just whether we know 15 different scales or something. If we can't engage with one scale, how are we going to engage with 15? It's not going to get better, you know. I always tell people your brain is the first thing that gets in your way of actually being able to make music. Because people just, we're humans. We want information, and that's good. But we've got to be able to process that information into something that sounds like music.
Love it.
So, yeah.
So tools, touch, tone.
Which tone I haven't gotten to, but yeah.
Right. So we've covered tools. We've covered touch. And we're going to move into tone. But before we do, guys, I want to thank you for being here. People who are joining us, who joined us a little bit late. Today, we're doing a live session for you. It's called, this is part of the Blues Guitar Workshop series that Steve and I are doing for you. And everything that we're talking about today is related to Steve's new course. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein. And it's available at guitarzoom.com. And also this playlist, guys, will be, as we make these recordings for you, all of these live sessions will be saved on the Guitar Zoom channel in a nice, neat playlist that you can go there and watch the entire Blues Guitar Workshop series. And also, if you're interested, you might want to subscribe and hit the notify button so you can be notified of the next live session they're going to be doing for you. Also, someone could just put in the chat box for me or the comment box wherever you're watching this, Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, and then guitarzoom.com so people can know where to get the course if they're interested in that. Today, the entire thing that we're talking about today is on blues soloing. And Steve has covered already tools and then touch. And now we're going to be talking about tone here in just a second. If you've got questions, please post them for us so we can answer those for you. And thank you for being here, for joining us a little bit late. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. So tools, again, think of tools as being preparation, right? We're trying to figure out the plan. It's always better to go into these things, especially if you're a performer or you want to become a performer. You don't want to get up on stage and not know what to do with a situation. So it's always nice to have, you know, experience in multiple different, you know, whether it's styles of music or even in the same genre, you know, blues, maybe it's shuffle blues versus, you know, swing blues or straight blues or whatever, or it's major versus minor. There's all kinds of different things. But it's spending a little time preparing, okay? Touch is the way that you play, the way that you approach, and that certainly includes phrasing. Tone, which is something I think people forget about a lot, and again, I'm not saying you need to go out and buy a new guitar and a new amp to get the right tone. That might be true, but more true is learning to use what you've got, learning to dial in the stuff that you have. So again, being basically a minimalist when it comes to guitar gear, because I really don't, you know, I don't own a bunch of pedals and things because I don't really care about that kind of stuff that much. I just try and figure out how to use what I've got to my advantage. So like right now, my guitar tone, if I was to turn my guitar volume all the way up and you know, I could get a pretty good rock sound out of this particular tone that I've got right now. You'll notice it's I got a little bit of the high end rolled off just because it sounds kind of cool for the blue stuff that I'm playing right now. But if I take that and roll back that volume, all of a sudden it becomes much more subtle. And again, my picking attack is going to loosen up a little bit. See the difference? I grew up being a metal guy. I know it's hard to believe. Look at me, for God's sakes. But so when you play metal, everything is always about power and volume and speed and intensity and all these other things. Most of the time, anyway. When it comes to stuff like blues, you know, the problem is that if I change my guitar tone, for instance, to this, I love that sound, don't get me wrong, but I don't have a lot of dynamic space to go from there, right? It's meant to be powerful, where this tone is meant to have dynamics, so I can, so when they say like the tone is in your hands and all that sort of thing, there's always debate on all that kind of stuff. I've always thought what that really just means is it's all in your approach. Like the way you pick, whether I'm playing a Paul Reed Smith or whether I'm playing an Ibanez or whether I'm playing a whatever, I'm going to play it the same way. The guitar itself might sound a little bit different, and so I might have to adjust the amp a little bit or whatever to appease my ear, but my approach is always going to be the same, you know? So it's usually just the aesthetics of what the guitar actually looks like. So this looks a little more like a blues guitar than say my Ibanez Gem does or something like that. But honestly, if I wasn't on video right now, it doesn't matter which guitar I'm using. I'd use any of them. You know, I would adjust this all the same way. So now what I want you to notice is right now, there's no delay and no reverb on there at all. And I used to be one of these effect people when I was a kid. And again, I don't know why, but so I never used anything, never used any effects because they were cheesy and you were cheesy for using effects. And what I learned a long way, a while after that, I should say, is that effects actually can be really fun and really sort of rock star-ish. And what they do is they help you to remember that maybe you don't have to play as much, right? What I've always loved, like, I'm going to turn this on. Here's my delay and my reverb. This is a very typical kind of delay and reverb that I would use for something like this. Now, it's a little heavy on the delay. You can hear that. But what it's doing is it's taking up space where I don't have to play. So it almost slows me down because I like to hear that sound. That trail or tail off, and it's called. You see? So I can leave more space, and that allows me to relax a little bit. And again, focus in on how things sound and how things feel more than just, I gotta play, notes. I gotta keep moving. I might just do something really mellow. Let me play that track again. Was the volume okay, Dan?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. So if I did just this. Not much, right? But I'm listening. So I'm really trying to not think about, I got to play fast, I learned this new arpeggio, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not making fun of any of those things. I can use any of that at my disposal, but it's got to be at the right time. I first have to set this up. And so that, to me, are really the basics of soloing, and in this case, certainly blues soloing, is learning to use the tools that you have to the best of your ability. Don't just keep thinking, well, if I learn this next scale, it's going to make it all fall into place. Or if I learn to play faster, it's going to fix everything. It won't. You've got to learn how to make a musical connection. And for me, the musical connection comes from all these subtleties that I'm doing. And again, you can like the way I play, not like the way it doesn't. It's fine. It doesn't matter, though. It's not going to change. When I wake up in the morning, I do what I do, and I love to do what I do. I love playing. And so for me, vibrato and bending and sliding and all these things are just crucial to really making the guitar, just squeezing music out of the guitar as best you can. And then if you want to add on the speed or the power or something like that, because that's the way you like blues, I think that's wonderful, right? Or you go, no, I don't want any of that. I want it to be very minimal. Well, that's cool too. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever it is you do, you've got to make it sound. I've always used the word authentic. When somebody hears you, they've got to be able to equate what you're doing as music just as much as the band is doing, right? Or right. The jam track or whatever. It all equals music versus, oh, he's learning or she's practicing or whatever, right? It's not having those words. It just sounds like music. That's what you're looking for.
Love it.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for being here. If you're joining us late, no worries. You'll be able to watch this live session. We'll put it together for you in a nice, neat, tidy playlist on the Guitar Zoom channel. The series that we're doing for you is a blues guitar workshop series. Today we are talking about blues soloing. Steve has covered three major components. Steve, I didn't write any of these down. I'm going to go from memory. Tools.
Yeah,
tools,
just preparation.
Yeah, tools.
Just touch, looking for tone. Three T's, but it's really just preparation.
Yeah, it's tools, touch, and tone. Those are the three elements that we've talked about today. Mm-hmm. And I think this has been super helpful. And like, man, you covered a lot in this one session. And
yeah, and there's obviously all these things could be studied to a very deep degree, right? Which is what these videos on social media are for. And of course, what the guitar course is for and all those things are learning to go deeper into these things. But I just wanted to give you an overview. So,
yeah, I love it. So if you want to be notified of the next session that we do, guys, for you, the Blues Guitar Workshop Series, just click the old subscribe button and notify you so you get a little notification that, hey, we're going live today. We try to do them at the same time. Doesn't always happen, but we certainly make an effort to be consistent. And subscribe to the channel. And if you enjoyed today, I think that you'll like the course, Steve's new course. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein. And it is everything that you would need to know to play electric blues guitar style. Let's not confuse electric and acoustic and dobro and resonator and all that stuff. It's an electric guitar course for playing blues and all the styles that you probably know and love, like Stevie Ray Vaughan and B.B. King and Buddy Guy and all those type of players, Albert King. Those type of players, we're not talking about the old acoustic blues guys, okay? Just to make a little separation in your mind of what exactly Steve's course is about. So anyway, if you want to check that out, it's available for you. And Steve, this has been awesome, dude. And I'm really looking forward to doing the next session with you, the Blues Workshop Series.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. And thank you, Dan.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being here. See you in the next one.
Take care.
Bye.
Next time on the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today, I get a lot of questions about what the blues scale is. What is the blues scale? And it's really not that difficult to discuss, but in order to know the blues scale, the first thing you have to do is you have to know the pentatonic scale. So again, today we're going to be talking about the minor side of things. And then in one of the next sessions, I'm going to be talking about major and minor and explain the difference of that too. But the minor pentatonic scale is a scale. Let's say you want to be in the key of A. What you would do is you would go to the fifth fret of the sixth string, which is A. Of course, you have to know the notes on your sixth string. But you'd go up there and you would play this scale. Now, penta meaning five, we're playing five notes to the octave. So I'm playing A, C, D, E, G. And then I play A, C, D, E, G. And then I play A, C, and I run out of strings, okay? Now, I could move up and different things like that. There's other positions you can learn and things like that. But that's what the minor pentatonic would be, is playing the notes A, C, D, E, and G. So if you've never done this before, just really quick, I'm playing 5, 8, 5, 7, 5, 7, 5, 7, 5, 8, 5, 8. And that scale is movable anywhere you want to go. So if you want to be in the key of G, you move it to G, and you play the exact same shape. Hey, Steve Stein here from GuitarZoom.com, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, can I ask you a favor? Please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Your feedback means more to me than you'll ever know. And be sure to check out my YouTube channels where you'll find over 1,000 videos to help you with your guitar playing. Thanks again for listening. Stay positive, keep playing, and keep having fun.
If you'd like some help with your guitar playing, but you're not sure how to get started, go to GuitarZoom.com and look for the Help Me Choose survey. By answering a few simple questions, you'll get Steve's personal recommendation of the perfect course for you. All this and more is available for you at GuitarZoom.com.